In our second lectionary reading, the gospel reading comes from the gospel according to Mark. Let's listen again for God's wisdom and word. After leaving the synagogue, Jesus, James, and John went home with Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law was in bed, sick with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. And Jesus went to her and took her by the hand and raised her up. And the fever left her, and then she served them. And that evening at sunset, people brought to Jesus those who were sick or demon-possessed, and the whole town gathered near the door. And Jesus healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases, and he threw out many demons. But he didn't let the demons speak because they recognized him. Early in the morning, well before sunrise, Jesus rose and went to a deserted place by himself where he could be alone in prayer. And Simon and those with him tracked Jesus down. And when they found him, they told him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he replied, "Let's head in the other direction to the nearby villages so that I can preach there too, for that's why I've come." And Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and throwing out demons. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Wanted to proclaim the word a little differently today. Normally, I'm the one who stands up there and I give what is a thoughtful and well-intended monologue. But sometimes you need a dialogue for the scriptures to come alive in the way that the Holy Spirit we'll use them to. So I've invited my colleague, Anna Chavarin, and Anna's going to tell you a little bit about herself. But I want you to listen in this conversation for the ways that Christ might still be present and active in the world. So let's welcome Anna to St. Mark's.
Thank you. And I hope this is still on, right?
Can you all hear her fine?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. Oh, yeah, pleasure to be here this morning with you all. My name is Anna Chavarin, and I work as a community organizer with Pima County Interfaith Council. I am originally from Mexico. I have four children, and I am a student at Pima. And I've been working in the community for about 4 years now.
Okay. Is there anything else that you do on top of that very long list?
Yes. Like I said, I am a student for Pima. I am involved in a student senate at college. I have a second job. My church is St. John the Evangelist, which I'm a pastoral counsel over there. What else?
That's enough.
I think that might be it.
Well, we've talked before because one of the things that I do out in the community is work with community organizers of different stripes. And Anna, as she said, is with Pima County Interfaith. And so because I've had several conversations with Anna, we've talked about our faith and the ways that our faith compels us to pursue things like social change. And so I'm reading this gospel lesson about Jesus, and he is out on the move. One of the things I noticed about Jesus, he never tells anyone to go back inside. Really. He's always out there on the move with the people. He's healing. He's casting out demons. He's curing the sick. He's being with people. How do you see what you do as a community organizer as an extension of the ministry of Jesus?
You know, growing up, I always learned the necessity in the community of the people. I always heard my grandma, she was very religious. And she would always read us that scripture in Matthew, I believe, that says, when you do this for the least of them, you do it for myself. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about, I was hungry, and you visited me, and all of that. And we grew up with that. And when I came into organizing, I realized that people help the community based on their faith. Because they love the community. They want to follow Jesus' example, and they want to make things better for others. Mm. And when I started noticing that, I thought, what a wonderful way to work with these people who want to make a change. And as I see them working in that community, making different changes, I see their love, I see their passion, and I see Christ in every of the things that they do. Mm-hmm. And I see organizing as a healing process for the need. And it might sound a little strange, but we fight demons. But the demons that we fight is, for example, the demon of poverty, the demon of the lack of opportunity, inequality, the demon of kids not having a place to play safely, a park with games, clean, out of drugs and needles. Those type of demons, you know, we fight demons like drug addiction. Recently, we had that big event in St. John's where we were fighting this drug. It's a synthetic marijuana known as Spice. Probably you have heard of it. And I saw the community, the users, being under this demon and being prey of this, not being able to function as Jesus wanted them to be free and happy, but captive of this drug. So in our community, we came together to put laws that would avoid the sale of this substance in the community. But at the same time, we gather and we made a plan to help them to eat and to drink. Because one thing with this drug was that they would not drink or forgot even to eat. And their bodies got very, very ill and all of that bad situation, you know. So we wanted first to do what Jesus, feed them, give them water, make them feel welcome and love. And second, how can we get rid of this thing? So it's, I know it is a little bit different, but it goes along with what we learn from Jesus.
And you not only met their needs on that physical level, you also addressed those demons at a higher level. Could you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, we had many visits with the police department, for example, with the health department, with the mayor, with the city council, and explore the ways, how can we make a law to get rid of this substance in the community and to stop those who are making profit out of it.
Okay.
So that's the other part. So in one way, we were addressing their physical needs and making sure that they felt the love of Christ and they knew that we love them. But at the same time, it's like, and we're going to fight to get rid of this thing because it's hurting you. So we met with local officials so many times until the ordinance was crafted, and then they presented to us. We went to the city council. We had to vote on it. It was like the whole civic process of it. But after getting that done, and it passes unanimous. One of the mothers who had a son addicted to this, she was crying, and she was thankful, and she was having those tears of joy. And we understood that, to me, it was not her son. It was my son. Because whatever happens to the children of the community is our children. And my faith calls me to protect my children, my neighbor. So it's no longer them. It's mine.
That sounds very noble. That also sounds very exhausting.
Yeah.
Because you talked about having to meet with the police, meet with city council people. I've seen you at meetings in early in the morning, late at night. You're also a worker, a supervisor, a student, a parent, like a session, the equivalent of a session member at a Catholic church. Mm-hmm. How does you make me think of Jesus in this story? Because Jesus goes off by himself. Because Jesus is so exhausted from all this being around the people, all this work, that he, early in the morning, brings himself to what the Mark calls a deserted place to commune with God. Can you maybe tell us how your faith sustained you in all that you have to do?
Oh, if it wasn't because of my faith in God, I wouldn't be here. When people ask me, Anna, how do you do it? I said, I don't do it. God does it with me. I see the capacity that we as humans have to give. And I know by faith that when we give and we protect and we do the things that we that we pledge to do when we accept Christ in our life, He provides the strength, and He helped when we decide to do what He wants us to do. He paved the road, and I'm not saying it's my success. No, He helped in every way. And when I don't know what to do, I always pray. And I said, God, you sent me here to this job. You choose me to do this. Guide me. Tell me how to go about this. And He always does it. I'm going to give you an example.
Yeah, please.
In my personal life. I am a single mom, by the way. And my income is low income. I consider low income. So my older son, he's 20, and he's going to college also. So I am in between of, okay, do I pay for my classes or do I pay for his classes? I better pay for his classes. I mean, one way or another, I'm already working, right? So I told him, I'm going to pay for your classes and mine. I will take them next semester. After I gather some money, or maybe I pay with a credit card, or let's see, don't worry about it. You go to school, I manage myself. Well, I happen to think, okay, I'm going to do it with a credit card, and let's see how I manage that. It was $600 for two classes. I got a scholarship from a student senate. They never told us how much it was going to be. They just said, you're going to get some voucher or some monetary help for being a student council, student senate. When I got the check, guess how much it was?
$600.
$600. Just like that. So when I opened that check from Pima and I see, I just like, okay, God, I know you want me to go to school too. So I paid. So those are tiny miracles that I see in my life. That for me, they're not tiny. They are huge miracles that God is telling me, you do what I tell you to do, and I take care of the rest. And He does. And this is what motivates me to keep on going, to do this work. And yes, it's tiring sometimes. But when I see the results, when I see the community, when I see the love, when I see all of that, I think this is the right thing to do. And I want to be doing this for a long time.
Well, I'm grateful, for one, that God gives you the energy and the strength to do what you do, because I am in awe of Anna and of her leadership in PCI and the community. And so I'm wondering, while we have a captive audience, if you could tell us how we can support you in what you do, join you, and partner with you in what you do.
Absolutely. For instance, thank you for having me here and learning more about us. You can support us either by making a contribution, coming to one of the teams if you're interested in any topic in particular, hosting information sessions that sometimes are required in the community to learn about different topics. There are many, many ways that you can help. But if you care about one topic in a specific, we can help and we can make a team and we can put that faith into words and actions. You know, so those are the ways that we can do.
Well, thank you for that, Anna. Let's thank Anna again for her time. And
thank you so much.
And let us close with prayer. May God be with you. Let us pray. Holy One, how good and faithful you are. How much your love pulses through this creation and finds us in the process. Thank you that your love is at work all over the place, calling people, raising up leaders like Anna, who try to point us, as Jesus did, to the reign of God, and to its nearness to us, to the ways that the reign of God is pregnant with possibilities. We know, O God, that your world, as beautiful as it is broken, but that you are working even through us and even with us to repair this broken world. God, give us your spirit. Give us your spirit of strength to do what we can in the little ways that we can to further your reign on earth. Thank you, God, for the joy and the challenge of the ministry that we all share. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you so much.